بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم. It is likely that your heart desires for something that may not be the best for you. It's also likely that you dislike something, and what you dislike may be better for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. A Muslim needs to believe and be convinced, absolutely certain, that Allah Ta'ala knows all. He knows the past, He knows the present, and He knows the future. As far as the servant is concerned, he knows some things, and many things are not known to him. You may know the present, but you may not know the future. Or if you know the future, then you know part of it. You don't have the full picture of the future. So the better thing for the believer, the better thing for the Muslim, is to assign his affair to Allah Ta'ala. You don't become the one that will choose, and you don't become the person that wants to decide. Leave it to Allah Ta'ala. You had to work to a certain point. You work to the relevant dhimmat that was within your control, within your means. After that, leave it to Allah Ta'ala. You have to work for your exams, for example, right? You are taking up a career, you have to work for your exams, for your career, or for the exams that are forthcoming. So you work to the point that you need to work. Beyond that, then leave it to Allah Ta'ala. If you're going to stress beyond that, then you are causing problem for yourself. You want to ask yourself questions that you're not supposed to be asking. Why did I fail? Or perhaps the examiner wasn't good towards me. He's biased against me. He's got some type of malice or prejudice against me. Therefore, he had taken out his vengeance and grudge against me. So leave these things here. Don't put your mind to this. You want to put your mind to this, then you won't be able to operate correctly. You have put your mind into an area that you're not supposed to be putting your mind. You work to the point that you need to work, and beyond that, leave it to Allah Ta'ala. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu qul liman fi aydikum min al-asra in ya'lamu Allahu fi qulubikum khayran yu'tikum khayran mimma ukhidha minkum wa yaghfir lakum. وَإِنْ يُرِيدُوا خِيَانَتَكَ فَقَدْ خَانُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَأَمْكَنَ مِنْهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala is directing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam towards two things here. Those captives of war that are in your hands, tell them that if you mean good, you mean good. Now, you're a captive, and a captive wants to be released. He wants to give an amount, a ransom amount, so that he may be freed of his bondage. That's the desire of any captive. He wants to give something. He wants to give a bail, and he wants to be freed of the bondage. So these slaves, these captives of war, Allah Pak is telling them, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instruct them, إِنْ يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا. If there's good in your heart, then Allah Ta'ala will grant you better than what you have given for your redemption. You wanted your redemption, you wanted to be freed, so He gave 1,000 rands for you to be freed. And you're thinking, hey, I've given so much, I've given 1,000 rands to get freed, I gave 1,000 rands. So Allah Pak is reassuring you that if you've given this, if you've gone through some pain, right, and you mean good, you mean good, you are a good person, you've got Islam, and you've been taken as a captive, now you have to pray for your freedom, all that. So you mean good, but you have come under this difficulty. Many a times, you are wanting to do good. You're starting off a business, you mean good. But unfortunately, you have fallen into some type of problem, some debts, some overheads, whatever else. But you mean good. You don't mean evil, you mean good. But now these problems have come over your head. What do you do? So, difficulty, constraints can come financially, can come from the end of your children, from the end of your wife, from the end of the career that you are doing. So difficulties can come from different angles, different ways. But you are supposed to be intending good. You're supposed to be wishing good, intending good. Intend good. Don't have any evil thoughts in your minds. Intend good. إِنْ يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا يُؤْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا مِمَّا أُخِذَ مِنْكُمْ. Then Allah Ta'ala will grant you better than what has been taken away from you. Amongst the captives of war was Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, who was also taken as a captive. There are those people that had participated in Badr on the side of the kuffar that didn't want to be there. But because of the peer pressure, they had to be there. So that they may not be marked down for their own security, their own safety in living in Makkah Mukarramah. If they are not going to join, then they'll be gunned down, they'll be marked down, their life will become a misery. So just for their own safety and for their own better well-being, they had participated. Now, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was one of those people that were fighting or that was on the side of the kuffar. Though he didn't want to be there, but he had to be there. And then he was taken as a captive. Now when he's taken as a captive, now there is the discussion going on what to be done with the captives. Some say that these captives must be all beheaded. Umar radiallahu anhu, that was his opinion. Sa'd ibn Mu'az, that was his opinion, that all these captives must be beheaded. And if it is your brother, it is your father, it is your son, that you must have the chance of beheading your own son, your own father, your own brother. Ashadduhum fi amrillah. So in the matters of Allah Ta'ala, Umar radiallahu anhu was very strict. It's a matter related to the matters of Allah Ta'ala, so there was no compromise. Anyway, other Sahaba Kiram felt that we give them a chance, we spare them, and we take some type of a ransom from them. Because the majority of the Sahaba Kiram all felt like that, Rasulullah had preferred that suggestion. So now, it came to the question of Abbas radiallahu anhu and the ransom that he had to pay. So Abbas says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see, when I had come to Badr, then I had come with 700 gold coins. And now I am taken as a captive, so all that gold coins was taken away from me. So that must be taken, that must be used as my ransom. 700 I brought. So Abbas is kind of rajulan dahiyan, calculating, he's a calculated person. Right, so he says this 700 must be used as my ransom, rather my bail money, my ransom money. You take the 700. So Rasulullah was he was a king now. You can't bypass Rasulullah person. Rasulullah said, "See, what has been taken away from you, that is part of the mal ghanimat khalas. That's part of the spoils of war." That was at the time of war, you were taken, your wealth was taken. So that is counted as the mal ghanimat. What you have to give is something besides what was taken away from you. At the time of war, what was taken away from you, that is mal ghanimat, spoils of war. And what you have to give to redeem yourself must be separate. So Basajan says, Ya Rasulullah, then I'll be left penniless. I won't have anything then. See, calculated person. So Rasulullah said, O Abbas, what about that money that you had given over to Umme Fadl, that is your wife? What about that money that you had given away to her before leaving for Badr? How did you learn about that? I had done all this in the dark of the night. There was nobody there besides me and my wife Umme Fadl. How do you know about it? So Abbas accepted Islam there and then straight away accepted Islam. Because he understood now, okay, this is the truth. Yawm al-Furqan, Yawm al-Taqa al-Jam'an. The day of Badr, whoever is putting this attar, please keep this away, it's affecting me. Yeah? Someone using some synthetic attar. That synthetic attar creates a cough. Right? So, Abbas is saying, alright, nobody was there. I have done it in the darkness of the night. No friend, nobody was there. We are all too secluded, me and my wife. My wife hasn't come to the war. She could have leaked the secret to you. She hasn't come. So there is some other power that is informing you. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously. So he accepted Islam. So he was told now, إِيَّا أَلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا. Now you accepted Islam, alright. Now you're going to give something as a ransom. So you're worried about this ransom that you're giving. If Allah Pak knows that there is good in your heart, your intentions are good, He will give you better than what He has taken away from you. So Ibn Abbas says, Alhamdulillah, I accepted Islam. Now, after accepting Islam, I had given away the 20 oqiyas of gold for my redemption. I had to give mines, and I had also to give the ransom of my nephew Aqil. Ali Rajan's brother's name was Aqil, isn't it? Aqil. So you have to pay for yourself, and you have to pay for your nephew Aqil. Both were on the side of the kafirs. Both have accepted Islam. For your redemption and his redemption, both of you all, you have to pay 20 oqiyas. So the amount is confirmed, 20 oqiyas have to pay. Alright, so Abbas had to cash, he had to give in, he had to pull out and he had given. He says, now that I have accepted Islam, I am sitting pretty well. Now I have over 20 slaves that are working for me. They are my merchants, they are merchants. You know, I've got 20 businesses, 20 businesses I got. And the least that any of these merchants have got is 20,000. They deal with 20,000. That 20,000, just multiply it in rands nowadays. 20,000, right? That 200 is working to 5,000 rands, isn't it? Nisab of Zakat, 200 is working to 5,000 rands. Is it not? So, the least that any of my merchant has got is 20,000. And I've got how many? I've got 20 of them. And all are flourishing. Each one is flourishing. What was taken from me? 20 oqiyas were taken from me. And in lieu of the 20 oqiyas, I've got so much. So, the least that he's got is 20,000, that is half a mil. This multiplied, it works to about half a mil, right? So, you can see some of the merchants got about 100,000, 200,000 that he's working with, that he's doing business with. So you can see he's sitting with about 15, 20 million rands. For the 20 that he's given, he's got how much? 20 million rands he's got. And he says, the other thing is, Allah Pak is promising that وَيَغْفِلْ لَكُمْ, and Allah Pak will forgive. When he's given this, then he'll definitely forgive as well. And the third favor Allah Ta'ala has granted me, is such an honor and such a symbol that Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with, that the world's wealth cannot equate that honor that Allah has given me. I have been privileged with the giving out and providing water for all the hajis. I am prepared. I am honored with that. Giving out water, taking care of the hajis, I am honored with that privilege. So that I don't want to share with anybody. That is far beyond all this worldly wealth. So Allah Pak told them that if you're worried about that which you are giving, if your intention is good, then we'll give you something far better than what was taken from you. يُؤْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا مِمَّا أُخِذَ مِنْكُمْ. What was taken from you as a ransom, you'll get something far better. وَإِنْ يُرِيدُ خِيَانَتَكَ فَقَدْ خَانُ اللَّهَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. But if these people, if their intentions are bad, the corruption, just for the convenience now, you're making some promise with the person, with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, you see me right in these exams, you know, the exam, final exam, metric exam, you see me right, I'll be a good boy after that, Allah Ta'ala. And then I'll behave, I'll do my namaz, everything will be qaida, sir. Everything will be right. Then I won't do any mess up. I want to get married to this girl, Allah, but just see me right through this. After that, I will do everything. There's all this bioscope I see in the masjid. I've seen much, and I still go and see. I know. Youngsters, they're mad over getting married to a certain girl. And for Taweez, namaz and all, everything is punctual. He's got one wazifa, someone gave him. After every namaz, Fajr namaz or Isha namaz, diligently is reading that thing. Diligently is reading. Eventually it happened that he got married to that girl. Now, that week that he got married, I didn't see him in the masjid after that. See, I've seen all his bioscope already. I've seen already. It's just a convenience. So Allah Pak knows all this. Yet He still gives you a robe. Maybe you just change. You may just have a change of mind. He showers His mercy to you that you may just change your mind. وَإِنْ يُرِيدُ خِيَانَتَكَ فَقَدْ خَانُ اللَّهِ. Remember, if you intend bad, then you had already intended bad in the past. Allah Ta'ala had given you control, given Nabi some control over them. فَأَمْكَنَ مِنْهُمْ. He's given you control over them. So overall, what you do as a believer, what you must do is you intend well, you follow procedure, you intend well, the rest of it you assign it to Allah Ta'ala. Don't worry about what's going to happen in the future, how it's going to happen, how it's going to pan out, what's going to be the consequence. You intend right, you do the right thing, follow the right procedure. What's going to happen eventually, that's not your business. So don't you get obsessed with what's going to happen afterwards and how they're going to take advantage over you. What they did, don't put your mind to that. Do you control affairs? Well, you're not in control. Why should you be obsessed? Why should you be stressed about it? If it was your control, it was your authority, supreme, complete control, then it was something for you to be stressing about. But when you don't have complete authority, then you don't worry about it. Just do to a certain point and leave it after that. Just assign it to Allah. Do it to the point that you can manage and leave it to Him. Why must you pretend that as though you have the control? The stress comes about, and this type of tension and stress and misery comes about when you take it onto yourself that no, you are in control. But when you're not in control, do how much you can manage. What's you supposed to be doing? What's your portfolio? You do that much, leave it to Allah. It's not your business after that. Why should you be worried beyond that? Why should you be worried? See, it's such an easy thing. Just to assign your affair to Allah Ta'ala. Do what you're supposed to be doing, moderation, turn to Allah Ta'ala, ask, beg, follow procedure, consult. Whatever you're supposed to be doing, do it, moderation. Then, assign it. Then, tufawwidu amraka ila Allah. Then, assign your affair to Allah Ta'ala. Then, leave it after that. Then, you be at ease. Now, I've done what I'm supposed to be doing, what I was required, I've done all that. Now, beyond that is not my duty. So I mustn't worry about it. I mustn't stress about it. Why must I become pressed about it? Why must I become constrained about it? The people that become despondent, they become depressed, and then they think of taking their lives is because of this. They feel, no, it must happen. I must take it right to the end. Follow this right to the end. I must get that. This my targets. I must get that target. Al-Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi, sometimes some big industrialist used to come to him and they would say, Hazrat, you know what? We've incurred a big loss. 20 million loss we've incurred. Hazrat kept on listening to this, you know, 20 mil, 20 mil. The man mentioned it to him 5-10 times. So Hazrat Rahmatullah told him, you're incurring so much of loss, then why don't you close up the business? Incurring loss upon loss, 20 mil. Why don't close it up? So he said, Hazrat, you didn't understand what is the meaning of loss. We didn't understand our interpretation of loss. Our interpretation of loss is, we had projected for 500 mil. See, we got 480 mil. So we got a loss of 20 mils. What? We projected for the coming year, how much? 500 mils. But we made 480. So we lost how much? 20 mil. So that's our interpretation. That's our definition of loss. See? So man keep projecting. And when it doesn't work out according to how he had projected, then he considers that as a loss. So why must you consider that as a loss? You do what you're supposed to do moderately and then leave it to Allah Ta'ala. Beyond that you mustn't stress. Don't worry about beyond that. And then I think to myself, you know, why? What's the need for you to stress? You're eating well, sleeping well, you got a house over your head. There's nothing that you are really afraid about. No fears that are overwhelming you. So why should you be stressing? Most that can happen, people may just tease you, people may embarrass you, oh, you didn't plan for this, but it didn't work out, your dreams didn't materialize. All that's the most they can tell you. So yeah, my dreams didn't materialize, but that's not a train smash now. It's not the end of everything. One of those things of life, it worked out for someone, it didn't work out. So that's one of the realities of life. Why must I stress over this? So such an easy prescription according to the sunnah, that you assign your affairs to Allah Ta'ala. Work with moderation, be truthful, honest in your intention, and then just assign the affair to Allah Ta'ala, and you continue with your life. Beyond that point, then you don't worry about it. Why it happened like this? It shouldn't have happened like this. What went wrong in my life? What went wrong in that life? Don't put your mind into all that. Just you continue. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. We are supposed to do what we're supposed to be doing. How much we can strive, how much we can endure, we do that. Right? And then be firm. We have left this to Allah Ta'ala, we have given it to Him. We be firm on that. Beyond that, we don't worry about it. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq naseeb kare.